Welcome back to Comic Book Storylines. I'm Brian Sorensen, a.k.a. Bri the Comic Book Guy. You can follow me on Instagram, at Bri the Comic Book Guy. We talk about all things comic-related on this show. If this is your first time coming onto this show, welcome. If it is your return episode, it's a brand new topic today. And this week, we are talking about X-Men, X-Factor, New Mutants. We're talking The Mutant Massacre. It was in the mid-80s, 1986. X-Factor was just getting going. It was only about 8 or 9 issues in. New Mutants was in the issue 40s. And Uncanny X-Men was in its heyday in the 200s. Oh my goodness, with the classic team of Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Rogue, Storm, Colossus, Shadowcat. Ugh. Now this storyline, it introduced some new characters, and it was also the first meeting of some characters where they got to fight each other, talking about Wolverine and Sabretooth. This event was the first time they ever fought, and also it was the catalyst for some other things that happened afterwards, a lot of different things, but we'll get to that. So the issues we're going to cover this week, since we have about a half hour-ish to talk about it, we're going to be talking about the first 6 parts of this 12-part storyline, and we're going to be talking Uncanny X-Men 210, 211. We have X-Factor 9 and 10. We have an issue of New Mutants 46. And also other series tie into this. We have some Daredevil and Thor. And this part, we're going to have Thor 373. You'll figure out why Thor is involved in this. He's not a main part of it, but he is involved with it. So why don't we get right into it with Uncanny X-Men 210, The Beginning of the Mutant Massacre. We start off right away with a mutant being just killed by a harpoon. And you can't see exactly who the bad guys are yet, and it's taking him down, knocking him unconscious. And we see another mutant who's running for her life, but it's a Morlock. It's one of the Morlocks. Now, the backstory for the Morlocks are they're mutants that live underground in this time, in the time of the comics. The X-Men just recently discovered them, I'd say about 30 issues ago, and the leader of the Morlocks is Callisto. And there was an issue not that long ago in this time frame where Storm and Callisto fought, and Storm took the leadership of the Morlocks. So she was co-leader of the X-Men and leader of the Morlocks at the same time, but let Callisto in charge when she wasn't down on the surface. So we see that there's this group of shady characters. You can't see them. They're all in shadows. And they're targeting mutants. I mean, they're pretty much saying there's no good mutant. The only good mutant's a dead mutant. So they're attacking her. She hides on a train, and they're like, okay, we're going to get her now. They're like, no, don't fret. Marauders. That's their name. That's the name of the group of the bad guys in this one. You're going to be hearing them a lot. And they're basically trying to follow her where she comes into play. So we get to see Dazzler. She doesn't have the usual red hair. She doesn't really know it, but she's being possessed by one of the other Marauders. She's not a physical entity. She controls her people by this necklace that she has on. It's called the Malice Chain, if you will. She doesn't really know that she is not acting as herself, like she's being possessed by this character Malice. So there's definitely something going on with her, and it's all kind of part of the Marauder's plan. We see Rogue flying around Manhattan. They've just had a little tango with some bad guys. The big Sentinel from the future, Nimrod, they just had a big battle with. So they're kind of reeling from that. They're kind of winding down from it. So Rogue is flying around the city, trying to, you know, just piece together what happened. Back at the mansion, Colossus and his sister Ileana are talking. Shadowcat, Kitty Pryde, she's trying to put back together the Professor Cerebro because it was damaged in their big battle. She's getting that all back together. And then this time frame, it's actually pretty interesting because Magneto, just before this happened, I'd say about 10 issues before that, Magneto was on trial. And Professor Xavier had some health issues and had to leave Earth with the Shi'ar Empire. And right before that, he promised Magneto, like, if he can, like, get his act together, he can be part of the team and he'd be the headmaster. So Magneto in this time is part of the X-Men. He's the leader of the New Mutants and he's part of the X-Men. So Magneto is in Manhattan, and he ends up running into X-Factor. He's going into the famous Hellfire Club, which are definitely X-Men bad guys, and the original X-Factor team is the original X-Men, so they spot him going in there. So there's already some tense things going on here, and Magneto is discussing with Sebastian Shaw to become the White King of part of the Hellfire Club to kind of bridge the X-Men and the Hellfire Club together since they've been bad guys, which, you know, that was definitely an interesting idea here. But the X-Men are all trying to just relax and everything from the big battle from Nimrod. So you're getting ready to see it, everything lead up into everything. So we see that young mutant get off the train in New York, and she goes into the tunnels where they have led her, where she has led them, and they end up killing her too. They said they needed to know where all the rest were. So she ends up being killed by the Marauders. And now they know where the rest of them are. They seemed like they knew where they were going, but you find out later that that was their plan, was to get into the lair of the Morlocks, and she just needed to lead them to the entrance. So then we get into X-Factor number 9. Now, things have been going on in X-Factor. The team Freedom Force, which used to be the Brotherhood of Mutants, or Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, led by Mystique, is trying to capture Rusty Collins. You might remember from the Deadpool 2 movie. It's a different character, but he does have flames and everything, and he's kind of been an ally of X-Factor, but Freedom Force wants to bring them in. Mystique, Blob, Avalanche, Pyro. They're all part of like a mutant government agency trying to bring in other mutants. So X-Factor is trying to get over to Rusty, but they're having to go through a crowd. It's like an anti-mutant crowd. And as they're doing that, we see the scene from X-Factor's perspective of Magneto going into the Hellfire Club, where they kind of run into him, and they're not happy to see Magneto, but they still have lots of stuff they need to do. They need to help Rusty Collins and his girlfriend at the time, Skids. They interacted with each other, and they've been both on the run from Freedom Force. And Freedom Force also has this character, Destiny. Destiny is pretty important in the X-Men mythos, as she's like a precog. She sees a lot of things in the future, and she's helpful for Freedom Force because she can see things that are going to happen and kind of help move things along to help them get them to go away that she wants to. So they end up getting Rusty and Skids, but X-Factor comes along and tries to separate them, and Mystique is like, we're federal officers, you need to get out of our way. So Rusty and Skids escape, and they end up going into the tunnels, but X-Factor doesn't know that yet. So X-Factor, while they're arguing with Freedom Force, they're going down, which you can tell now where this is going because of previous issue, they're going to kind of run into some trouble. And we see a Morlock that has been part of X-Factor's rescued mutant program. His name's Artie Maddox. He kind of sees things into the future, and he makes like these projections because he can't talk or anything. So he has these projections of his thing, and he's showing people in the X-Factor building, mutants being killed, but nobody knows what to make of it. So they kind of hush him out. And then we see X-Factor come back, and they're like, huh, this is really weird, because he drew what was going on a wall, and he runs away into the tunnels. So X-Factor gets into their costumes. It's Angel, Beast, Iceman, Cyclops, and Jean Grey. They go into the Morlock tunnels as well. And Freedom Force is there as well. Everybody kind of meets up, and they run into Rusty, and they're trying to capture him. And X-Factor comes in. So then there's a battle between X-Factor and Freedom Force in a Morlock tunnel in the sewers. So it's kind of cramped locations and everything. And Rusty and Skids end up breaking away. And Destiny has this little premonition. She goes, we need to get out of here to preserve our lives right now. We can count Rusty Collins is as good as dead already. And Mystique's like, are you sure? She's like, I've never been more sure of anything in my life. So Freedom Force takes off, leaving X-Factor to pick up the pieces. And Rusty is unconscious. Beast says he needs a doctor. So they get ready to split up and take him. Angel and Jean Grey take them out. And Cyclops, Beast, and Iceman go into the tunnels further to see what's going on. But they start hearing screams and shouts from the victims of the Marauders. We get to Uncanny X-Men 211 is next, we finally get to see the Marauders. We get to see him. It's a full page thing. He goes, "Hi there, I'm Scalp Hunter. We're the Marauders. We kill mutants. Who's next?" And we get to see all these different figures of some pretty nasty bad guys and everything. And they pop into the Morlocks' home while they're eating, and they just start blasting through them. You've got Scalp Hunter, who's got all these different weapons around him. Then you've got Riptide, who kind of spins in a tornado-like pattern and shoots these spikes that hurt people. And they start ripping through all the mutants. And then we get to a character called Archlight, which we've seen a few different versions of her. She's been in one of the X-Men movies, X-Men 3, The Last Stand. She was made an appearance in that one. And we see the character Harpoon, which throws these big harpoons that pretty much stop anybody in their tracks, affects their nervous system. And then they got the character Vertigo, who uses her powers and kind of makes people dizzy, unconscious, things like that. And we get to go back to the X-Men, where they're getting ready to be alerted of what's going on. One of the Morlocks rushes to Storm, who is their leader. Like, "X-Men, you need to help us. Strangers are in the alley," which is their home in the Morlock tunnels. "They're killing all the Morlocks." And that Morlock dies just as he tells everybody what's going on. Now, here we get to see a character that's going to be pretty important in the X-Men universe for a long time. It's a new person that has come into the X-Men's world. Betsy Braddock, called Psylocke. Now, she has just come to the Xavier School. She's not a full member of the team yet, but she's going to be pretty heavily involved. So she kind of does a scan of that mutant and says they're being slaughtered in the Morlock tunnels. We need to go. So Colossus's sister, Illyana, she's got these powers where she can teleport a bunch of people to any location that she can see. So she automatically teleports them to the Morlock tunnels to save a whole lot of time. She stumbles on the Callisto and a bunch of wounded Morlocks, but just as they're about to help, they're attacked by the Marauders. So the X-Men just start going to work, and the Marauders are like, "Hey, it's the X-Men. We finally get a real fight." You know, they start breaking up into teams. Illyana starts taking wounded home. Nightcrawler is wounded almost immediately, so she teleports him back. Storm kind of makes everybody split up to try and go after the bad guys. Colossus and Shadowcat run into them, and they start a little fight internally. Shadowcat runs into Scalp Hunter, but she phases, so he can't hurt her. So she ends up besting him that day. And they don't run into them on page, but the interaction of the next issue of X-Factor kind of blends into this one, because Storm, Rogue, and Wolverine are trying to find the Morlocks and trying to find the Marauders at the same time to help. And we see one of Cyclops' blasts whiz by him, and Wolverine kind of has this sense, and he's like, "Hey, it's all the original X-Men, Angel, Beast, Cyclops. Where are they going?" They're like, "Well, we don't know. Maybe they're trying to help as well." But we don't get to see them because there's an explosion, and it's you'll see this in the next X-Factor issue. Archlight blows a hole into the tunnel, so they can't get to those guys. But they do run into the Marauders eventually. Harpoon tries to get Wolverine, but he's got this badass healing factor, so it doesn't do any good. Storm starts taking out other characters. She takes out the character Scrambler, who tries to scramble her powers, but at this point in the X-Men time frame, you should also know, if you weren't a follower at the time, Storm doesn't have her powers. Forge used this device on her a couple years ago, so she was leading the X-Men without her weather pattern powers. So they make quick work of the Marauders, but the Harpoon character, he takes one last swing at Rogue with one of his harpoons, and Shadowcat's kind of phased. So Shadowcat runs in, tries to save Rogue to try and phase her out, but the harpoon interacts with her powers, and Shadowcat, like, there's this big flash of light, and Colossus doesn't know what's going on, but he sees that Shadowcat is hurt, and he ends up killing Harpoon, which is really out of character for Colossus, but he's with Shadowcat at the time, so he thought that he had killed her. So the light flashes away and Shadowcat is right there, but she can't unphase. She's kind of like in this ghost walk thing. She's standing there. They can't hear her because she's phased out of her, like, you know, the main, like, where they can touch her. So they have to bring her back to the mansion as well with all the wounded Morlocks. They load them all on a tunnel, into a tunnel, and they get them on a train, and they're going to get back to the X-Mansion. But they leave Wolverine behind because they want to interrogate one of the Marauders, which leaving Wolverine to interrogate anybody, that's hilarious. So we get to X-Factor number 10, where the Morlocks that they haven't gotten to yet, there's like tunnels and tunnels and tunnels of the Morlocks' home underneath. So the Marauders end up going to like the main hub of their big city. It's like this huge access tunnel. And they just charge in, and the page, it's two pages into one big picture of the Marauders attacking the Morlocks and Morlocks fleeing. And you see a lot of them die just instantly. I mean, this is not a happy story. This is a pretty sad story because they were hunting mutants pretty bad in this. We go to X-Factor's headquarters, and Angel and Jean Grey had brought back the wounded Rusty and Skids for healing and everything, and we get to see what happens where Cyclops, Beast, and Iceman takes off into the tunnels. They run into a couple of Marauders, and they start attacking, and we get to see where Cyclops' blast goes through, and Wolverine ends up seeing it, because he's blasting some debris out of the way, but his blast ends up keeping going down the tunnel. So we get to see that from X-Factor's perspective. And we get back to Angel and Jean Grey going back to their headquarters, and they're trying to immediately go back. Angel wants to go back and help, but Jean is telling him, no, you can't go back. Something terrible is going to happen. You need to stay here, because Angel, his powers are flight. He doesn't have like any like gung-ho powers or anything. So him flying around in tunnels isn't a smart idea. So they're trying to keep him back so like he doesn't hurt himself. Then we get to see Sabretooth for the first time in the X-Men comics. He's been in the comics before. He started out in Iron Fist as an Iron Fist bad guy. So we see the character Sabretooth for the first time, and he's going after Caliban, who's protecting Artie and his newfound little Morlock friend, Leech. Leech can take away people's powers, and Artie's he took away because he's in close proximity. It's a long story. But Caliban hides the two boys while he's being attacked by Sabretooth, but then Cyclops, Beast, and Iceman come in, and they knock unconscious Sabretooth and rescue the three, and they start trying to take him away. Then we get back to Mystique and her Freedom Force, and she's pretty pissed at X-Factor for not being able to get the collar, because the government really wanted Rusty Collins. There's a lot of different little elements going on in the X-Factor books at the time. So Mystique finds out that Warren Worthington is the benefactor of X-Factor. Like, Warren Worthington Industries is funding X-Factor. But Mystique and the bad guys know who Warren Worthington is, Angel. So they decide to really tick off X-Factor. So they leak to the press that X-Factor, now up until now, X-Factor had been like their guys, and they had been like a mutant hunting, like they captured mutants basically, and they weren't being told that X-Factor was mutants. But Mystique released it to the press that they were mutants, and it was fat, and Warren Worthington the third is a known mutant, and he's with X-Factor. So Warren gets all like upset about that. But then we flash back to the alley, which is the main hub where the big battle is going into. And the Marauders are trying to put it to the Morlocks. But X-Factor's there trying to save as many as he can. But they have a little run-in with some of the Morlocks and some of the Marauders. There's this one Morlock who we're going to see disappear pretty soon. And it's going to be interesting why. We run back to Angel and Jean Grey. He's ticked off that now everybody knows who X-Factor is and who he is, and he feels like he's now going to be endangering X-Factor, and it's going to be harmful for what their plan was to try and rescue mutants and not hunt them. That was like their guys. We see Jean talking to Angel, and they've always had this little like pseudo thing going on. If you read the original X-Men back in the 60s and 70s, Angel always wanted to be with Jean, but she chose Cyclops and everything. And Angel has this girlfriend, Candy Southern. And Candy walks in as he's like hugging Jean because of everything that's going on. She takes off. He gets really ticked off at that and ends up taking off back into the tunnels. He's like, you know what? I've had it. So then we see, only briefly for a few panels, Apocalypse shows up. Now, Apocalypse was first introduced in the X-Factor books. So he first shows up. He shows up in this, and we get to see him for the first time. So we see him in the tunnels, and he takes the character Plague, who is a Morlock. She makes Sabretooth and Harpoon very sick, and Apocalypse knocks Harpoon out of the way, and he takes Plague, and he tells her she is going to be the first horseman of the Apocalypse, and he takes her and disappears. Now, Apocalypse was building his Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and about 10 or 12 issues from now, he introduces them. This is his first play at making his little team together. So Angel and Jean go back into the tunnels to try and help with the rescue of all the Morlocks. But the Marauders are putting it pretty good to the team. She ends up knocking out Caliban and Cyclops. And Angel is like, okay, Jean, take the rest, take the wounded. Iceman, go with him to help cover. I'm going to fly in here and try and help. So he tries to find Artie and Leech, and he ends up finding Artie and Leech, but it's an attack and a trap by some of the Marauders. And Angel foolishly just runs in and starts attacking. They quickly pin him down. They start, like, breaking his wings. He's got, like, you know, full-fledged bird wings. You'll see in the pictures if you haven't read the issues. But this is the moment where Angel starts going on to the path of Archangel. They pin his wings with harpoons, which knock him unconscious, and they, like, make his wings, like, physically unable to be used anymore at this point. Like, Flyboy's wings have been clipped. So the last panel of the issue is Angel up against the wall and pinned to it with his wings fully stretched out by harpoons. So he's rendered unconscious by all that, and now his wings are practically broken. And we get to New Mutants 46. This is kind of like the New Mutants are the junior X-Men. That was their intent in the issues. They were like the kids leading up to eventually becoming X-Men. So Ileana Rasputin, she's on the New Mutants. She goes to Muir Island for Moira McTaggart, who's a mutant geneticist, doctor, all that. They need her help because they need medical treatment for the Morlocks. So she goes and gets Moira, brings her back to the mansion, and Moira sees, like, everybody wounded and everything. So they set up this big triage in the mansion, and Magneto and the X-Men want to go back, but they need to help with the Morlocks and everything. So they set up, most of this issue is the X-Men and New Mutants setting up triage and trying to help the injured Morlocks. And it's the kids trying to, I mean, they're still kind of ticked off that they're kept on the sidelines. And a lot of the New Mutants issues are them dealing with trying to work together as a young team and them trying to become X-Men eventually. So they kind of have, like, their own little adventure during this. They kind of break off from the main part of the storyline, and they go off and they end up getting captured. One of the New Mutants, Doug Ramsey. I did this before with Fall of the Mutants. Doug Ramsey eventually dies, and he has his technological character, Warlock, with him. They kind of, like, bonded. But then at the end of the issue, they end up getting captured by the Magus. He is Warlock's father, techno-organic father. So they end up getting captured, and that's the last time we see the New Mutants in this storyline. Then we get to the last part that we're going to cover today. And I'll go into some more details of the importance of the storyline and everything. It's weird that Thor ended up involved in this because Thor had his own thing going on. And in this part of the time frame in Marvel Comics, Thor had been on Asgard for a while, and this was his triumphant return to Earth. Instead of going back to the Avengers, he ends up going back to New York City, and he turns back into his mortal guise. He wants to get more back in touch with Midgard, or Earth. So he goes back, and he goes back to his guise of a character that he called himself Sigurd Jarlsson, and he was kind of like this construction worker at the time. So he goes back to the old construction job he was at and goes to the family that he knew and befriended there. So he's just kind of hanging out with kids, and you see Thor interacting with people at a dinner table, like playing with a bunch of kids and doing the dishes and going for a walk around the neighborhood in New York. And he starts telling the kids stories of Asgard and how he used to be a frog, because it was right after Thor was the frog and Loki turned him into that. But then Thor turns back into Thor, and he kind of has this sense that something's going on in the tunnels. So he goes into the Morlock tunnels to see what's going on, and he runs into a bunch of Morlock dead bodies. So he's like, what is going on here? And he runs into, just after the end of the X-Factor issue, X-Factor 10, where Angel was pinned to the wall, he runs into the Marauders just after that happens. So the Marauders, it's Blockbuster, Harpoon, and Riptide, they all start attacking Thor. They don't know who he is, really, but they just go after him. And it's pretty much a big mistake, because Thor ends up just blasting through all of them, creates this big lightning, and they end up taking off. So he goes over to Angel, and he doesn't know who at the time who he is, but he senses that the other Marauders are coming for him. They're kind of regrouping. So the issue ends with Thor standing in front of Angel, who's still pinned, but he doesn't have time to rescue him and take him down yet. So he's going to guard him with his life to try and save his life. That's where we're going to end this episode here. We have 6 parts in. We have 6 more to go. And I promise you, the next 6 are going to be huge. And it's going to be the first time Wolverine and Sabretooth ever appear on the panel together. And of course, it's a huge fight. So it's the first time you get to see Wolverine and Sabretooth fight. First of many times. Now, this storyline, it's pretty important. As I've said, we've already seen that Shadowcat and Nightcrawler are injured in some ways. Now, Shadowcat and Nightcrawler are part of the first mutants to form the team Excalibur. So the catalyst of events and everything leads up to Excalibur being formed. Now, there's also ties to Psylocke, because her brother, Brian Braddock, in the comics, is the character Captain Britain, who ends up being the leader of Excalibur when it starts. So Marvel and the X-Men teams and everything, they were trying to ramp up all of these new things to come out of this. I mean, there's a new X-Men team that comes out of this eventually. There's some new characters that come into the mix in the next few issues. And the ramifications of the Mutant Massacre follow the X-Men to years to come. In fact, there's a couple of issues in the mid-300s. It's 323 to 325, where we revisit the Mutant Massacre. And then it's issue 350 that we find out that an X-Man that we haven't seen yet in the 80s, that does eventually come out to light, had a really important part in making the Mutant Massacre happen. If I do have time this week, next week, I will go into that, I promise you, because it's very interesting. It's just a standalone issue, and I won't hint who it is. I won't speculate. I want you to kind of just rattle your brain trying to figure out who it is. If you've read them all already, you know who I'm talking about. And if you haven't read the X-Men issues that I'm talking about, then you're just going to go, what, next week. So until next time, thanks for listening.